Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
The season isn't over yet, but you know many rosters are going to be projecting big moves. You already see it all over social media. Every team is looking for the next big trade, the next big free agency signing, and you know, hopefully, the brain trust involved in every single team's front office is doing the same. My name is Nick the Voice, joined tonight by Jeremy Schilling, Chris Filico, and Charlie Smith. We are the Bastards of Boston. Now, the Red Sox are in an interesting position. We're coming off a season where we were projected at the start of it to go very deep into the postseason. I think a lot of people, ourselves included, said that this was a team that at least had championship written all over it. And then a few speed bumps happened along the way. We managed to salvage something towards the end, but obviously losing to the Yankees like we did, and not even really making it to the divisional round, it wasn't necessarily the big win that I think a lot of us were hoping for going into the year. And although there's a lot of things to be happy with, Crochet, Anthony, there's a lot of improvements to be made. Where do you guys want to start by looking at the Red Sox's future for the offseason?
I would say corner infield. With the news of Bregman opting out, I know we did a whole show about that over the weekend, so I won't, you know, go all in on that. But first base and third base, and I anticipate that Bregman will not be coming back. And so we've got two key spots we got to fill, and we've got to get some offense out of first base, and we got to balance the heavy left-handed lineup and go get a right-handed bat and I strongly believe that that should be outside the current organization. I don't think that's what's going to happen. Personally, I think you're going to see Meyer at third and Cassis at first with Romy, the right-hand option. because I will say this until I'm proven wrong. John Henry is cheap, and I don't think they want to spend on bigger contracts, and that's what you have to do. The other option would be to trade surplus. Obviously, there's some guys like Duran that could be moved or Abreu, and you can package players in to go get a player that's under control. So I also don't think that's going to happen. So I think what's going to happen is this roster is going to be filled out by the guys that were injured as the season ended, getting healthy to start the season. And that's how we're going to go into 2026. So that's where I would start, Nick, is the corner infield spots. I know that's not the only spot, but you said where to start, and that's where I'd start.
You want me to go, Charlie?
Go ahead. You're in a better state than me.
yeah, New York is better than California. I would agree. But
not that front.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's hard to disagree with what Jeremy said, but I just don't have confidence that we're going to be able to fill both those. Even if we did go out there and spend money, there's no way you're going to be able to spend it and fill both of them. And I just don't have confidence with the internal options that it's going to really fit the needs for this team to fill the other spot, even if you did spend money. I was reading something. I think I was looking at the writers, like the offseason. I think 6 out of 8 picked the Sox to win the division going into this previous year. And I think the other 2 picked them to finish second. And what's crazy is the year before that, 2024, we finished, 81-81. And we finished 8 games better than that. And we still finished in third place. Like, just think about that for a second, right? Because I think we could agree that there was pretty significant upgrades going into this previous year. And my confidence level that we're able to make the same level of improvements is gone at this point, because what we forget too is like Rafael Devers isn't on this roster. And I'm not going to bring him up, but it's just a reality, right? We made those improvements to roster that had Rafael Devers. Now you've created a hole there. The hole you filled him with temporarily is gone. So you have to fill that. Now you don't have a true bona fide DH that scares anybody on this roster. And Casas, whether you like him, believe in him, don't believe in him, because, you know, for the most part, we don't, but there's plenty of Red Sox fans that do. That's another gaping hole. It starts with the corner outfield. I would even say pitching, right? Like, let's face it, we were not playing baseball out of that first round, because outside of Garrett Crochet, no one else showed up on the starting rotation. And that's just a fact. So there's a lot of holes. I would start with the corner infield, but the starting pitching is right behind it. Charlie?
Oh, this should be fun. Everyone's already sitting down. There's not too much to add. Yeah, it's pretty infuriating when you think about it. I mean, if people are like, oh yeah, I'm mad, you have every reason to be upset. You absolutely have every reason to be upset. And here we go. Here's why. If I'm a free agent going into 2026, am I thinking, yeah, I want to go to Boston, sign a mega deal, and then after a couple of years, they might get tired of the way I paint my nails, cut my hair, wear my clothes, whatever the hell the excuse is, and they might send your behind packing, which is infuriating. So I don't look at Boston as a destination city. That's strike one. Number two, outside of Garrett Crochet, you do have a boatload of inconsistencies. The Boston Red Sox 2025 year was consistently inconsistent. You could be right about 2 out of 3 or right about, going and getting swept 3 games out of 3. And then vice versa, where you think you're going to sweep and you think you're going to get, 2 out of 3. It's the exact opposite that happens. Probably shouldn't be the case. Jeremy talked about corner infielders because Alex Bregman is gone. $40 million of payroll freed up. Was Alex Bregman a $40 million guy? The answer is no. Less than a $30 million guy. Missing the amount of time he did, his age, his injury, that history with that injury, it's not something that it's like, it's a torn cuticle, it'll grow back, I'll be fine. His problem at his age is going to linger. It's going to be a problem for a while. It might not heal for a couple of months. We know that he was dogging it for several games when he came back because he just couldn't move. We lost games because of his speed. We didn't lose games necessarily because of his defense. But he wasn't worth $40 million. You should be more than able to replace $40 million on that team with a third baseman, with a suitable first baseman. I don't want Nate Lowe there. I forget him. I don't want to see his name. I don't want to see him anywhere in Boston. Get another starter in there. There's really no excuse when you think about it. We already have a closer. We have an elite eighth inning guy. I'm not going to be upset if they beef it up and get another reliever, but you need to get another starter in there. You got to stop trading people that end up, I'm not sure what's going to happen with them. Quinn Priester ended up dominating. He's gone. Chris Sale ended up dominating. He's gone. Imagine your rotation right now if you had Garrett Crochet, Chris Sale, Quinn Priester, Brian Baio, and a healthy either Tanner Houck or Cutter Crawford in your 5 slot. You don't need to spend $20 million on Walker Buehler, who allegedly only got paid $1 million more to be a Boston Red Sox over being a back-to-back World Series champion with the Dodgers. More than likely, it's probably going to be them, let's be honest. But I mean, facts are facts here, guys. I mean, we can say, oh, we need to do this and we need to do that. If 2026 ends up being 2024 all over again, I mean, 2 things. One, viewership is going to be way down. Two, we're actually going to perform worse than we did this year because, truth be told, the little riding the high of what it was like when Rafi Devers wasn't actually here, it was cute, but it didn't last. And at one point, we looked like we were going to actually miss the playoffs. There were some of us that thought we were going to miss. So you need to beef up the offense. You need to get another starter in there. You're watching what some other teams are doing where they're getting 5, 6, 7, 8 starters because attrition is going to happen. You're going to lose one or two guys during the course of the year, whether it be for a month or the season. It can happen. You know, like at the end of the day, if you lost, you know, here's the thing. You lose Garrett Crochet, you are far less than a 500 team. It's not even close. And at that point, you're probably fire selling. I'm done.
Yeah, no, that's completely valid. I mean, it's a concerning offseason, I think, that we're heading for because I do agree. I want us to go out and get a pitcher to go alongside Crochet. And I don't want to say a guy of Crochet's caliber because those guys don't exactly grow on trees. I've seen some people, you know, pretty much from every fan base rallying, saying, oh, if Scoobal is available, you go get Scoobal. I don't know what that would cost us, both in terms of a trade package, in terms of a long-term deal. And honestly, I feel like those are resources, trade capital resources, that I would almost rather invest back into this lineup. Because as far as the free agency class goes, I like a lot of the pitchers that are there. I like Ranger Suarez. Framber Valdez, I did like until he had that whole personal dispute with his catcher. That was really off-putting. But then you have Cease, you have Michael King, who might be testing free agency. So I feel like there are options there, you know, if you don't want to go out and get a Scoobal guy or even a Joe Ryan type of guy in a trade deal, you have free agents to fall back on. When it comes to the batting side of things, it's kind of like Kyle Tucker and then a large step below him, Pete Alonso, and then a large step below him, everyone else. You know, and it's hard to find that impact guy at the corners, which I do agree with you guys is the biggest issue. And it's so frustrating to me. And Chris, I'm glad that you brought up Devers because I was going to, where it's just like so frustrating to have Bregman on this roster. And you consider we were carrying Bregman's contract and Devers' contract both at the same time. Two, in theory, third basemen making that amount of money and hopefully producing to that extent. And both of them had good years overall, and now we have neither of them. We now have this massive hole to fill. We have the money, certainly, to spend, but it all comes back to green. Will John Henry and company actually cough up the dough? Will they go out and get a Pete Alonso? Is a guy like Pete Alonso even a worthy investment, given his age, given the perceived cost? Third base, I mean, I know for certain I don't want Meyer there. And that's something I've been afraid of as a worst case scenario. And it kind of sucks because it's plausible. You know, I can see a world. Will Story opt out? Probably not, I want to say. I think we're with him for the long haul. So Meyer and Story in the middle, I'd like that. I like it defensively. I like it offensively enough. They aren't killers at the plate, but they're solid players. But in order to carry a middle infield like that, you want killers on the corners. And Casas, unfortunately, can't stay healthy. He's unproven. Low is what he is, capable of having a good month, maybe not a good season. And third base is just a big void on the depth chart. It's frustrating to see because, you know, I would love Kyle Tucker. I've seen some people say we don't need Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker is a guy you make room for. You know, don't get me wrong. I would love to have Kyle Tucker, but then you've got to figure out, okay, Duran's going. Maybe Yoshida's going. Can we figure out a deal? I saw someone float a potential, you know, package, including Yoshida, just to ditch that money. But it's just kind of a conundrum because our offense right now needs a lot. I just want to go back to even just a few years ago where this was an offense that the other team looked at and went, oh boy, what do we even do against this? This is a nightmare. We don't have that right now. And I don't think 33-year-old Kyle Schwarber is going to be the answer to that.
Well, you know, it's frustrating too. And Charlie brought it up. And not that I forgot about it, but it, you know, the more that you look at it as time has passed is, I mean, we've made some, outside of the Kyle Teal trade, right, where we took what was a surefire quote-unquote prospect to get Crochet, we traded Quinn Priester, Chris Sale, and Rafael Devers and got nothing out of all of them. We got nothing of value that matches even remotely close to Quinn Priester. As crazy as it sounded at the time, because I think there was a lot of us as Red Sox fans that were like, all right, the way things are going with Chris Sale here in Boston, injuries, young guy, Vaughn, tons of upside. I mean, talk about a joke. We couldn't even move him if we wanted to. And then Rafael Devers. And now we're sitting on all this money, and chances are we're not going to spend it. So it's super frustrating. Go ahead, Jeremy. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I mean, I'm on board with your frustration. I actually expect them to attempt to fill the number two slot. And then you have such a depth after, you know, with Bayo, assuming because of Giolito, he'll opt in. Cutter Crawford, Tanner Houck, Early, Tolley. I'm missing somebody else. Early Conley. Yeah, sorry. Conley Early. If you get a number two, there, you're going to have three or four guys pitching in Worcester that will make starts up in Boston, and that's incredible depth. I think it's good going into the season, and then depending on what happens, you go to the deadline where you go get somebody to bolster based on health and all that. That's a sideshow. I don't trust Breslow at the deadline. I think he's a putz at the deadline. But here's my problem with what I think they're going to do at number two. Because what do we all want? We all want him to go get I'm spacing on his name, of course, Ryan from the Twins, who are
Joe Ryan
holding a yard sale because those owners are like, don't know if they want to sell the team. They don't have any money. So he's essentially like known to be available, and we all want him to go get him. And the problem with that is I think anybody that wants to do the same thing we're going to do, we're probably going to overpay him, whether it be money, prospects, whatever. So what do I think is going to happen? I think they're going to go get an aging ex-superstar. And they've done this in the past where we get the last year of a player and he's not who he was years ago. And they say, here you go. Here's a name. Here's 42-year-old Justin Verlander. You know, here's a name. Here's somebody who won a Cy Young 7 years ago. And they're going to say, great deal. We got him for $8 million. He'll be our number two. And it won't work. And so that's my concern there. I do think that they will, in their brains, which are broken, fill the need. I don't have that same even minimal level of confidence that they're going to do it at the corner spots. I think they're going to fill it internally. And that's the problem. And I've said this before, so I'll just say it quickly. I don't want to be what happened to the Orioles. The Orioles had this core. We all thought they were going to be the next Astros, and the ownership did nothing. And it's like we blinked and their windows closed because they never supplemented the youth with veterans and went for it. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be super negative because that's not how I watch baseball, but like it feels like we're kind of getting ready to do the Baltimore version of the completed rebuild. And I'm really concerned that there's way too much value being placed on young players that either have an injury history or don't have a track record of producing at the big league level. And this is the offseason, guys. We ascended. We're there. We have the ace. We have the stud. We have the guy that we know we're going to pitch in, you know, game one. If we get to a game seven, like that's it. We got the guy. You got to go do these other things. I have no confidence that they're going to do it. And I know Charlie has some stats that support the way we feel about ownership. So I'm going to turn it over to Charlie.
Yeah, this is something that I was looking at. And I was talking about it with a couple people, and I had like a couple of back and forths, and now I'm done with certain people just because of one, stupidity. I have no tolerance for it. And then two, faceless profiles are like name calling and crap. I don't have any patience for that either. So people have been saying, oh, you know, we have teams in Major League Baseball, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Phillies, Arizona's up there. The Yankees are up there. And here are the things that people aren't really taking into consideration. Those teams are bringing in such stupid money. It's not funny. The Mets last year brought in $444 million. Only a couple teams did better than that. The Yankees did better with $728 million. The Dodgers did that, $752 million. Philly obviously is bringing that in, $519 million. But there's a difference too. You have to think about, okay, what was your revenue and what was your payroll? You're making all that money. What is your payroll and tax percentage? So the Dodgers, for example, who are one of the teams at the World Series now, had $752 million. They're the first team to have 4 million fans in a season. In a season. Now, that helps because Dodger Stadium has a pretty incredible capacity. It's a perfectly symmetrical ballpark. If you throw a line right down to center field, it's perfectly even on the left and to the right. I've gone there multiple times this year. Anyone who hasn't gone, it's a really great stadium. It's a lot of fun. People get drunk, sometimes that kind of stupid, but you're going to find that at every stadium. I digress. $752 million is what their revenue was. $549 million was their payroll. That's 73%, right? People are saying that's bad for baseball. The Mets exceeded that. They had $444 million in revenue, $400 million in payroll. 90% of the money they made the prior year went towards paying for your team. The Toronto Blue Jays, the American League representative, had $387 million in revenue and $277 million in payroll. That's 71.5%. Those are the top three teams. Philly, 67.2%. Arizona, 66.7%. So those are five teams that literally paid two-thirds of the money they made the prior year went towards payroll. Now, for the people that are saying that they're bad for baseball, here's the bad news. You have teams like the Miami Marlins who made $317 million, $86 million payroll. That's 30th out of 30. 27% of that revenue went towards your payroll. That means 73% went towards the owner's pockets. Next up on that list, Chicago. They're at 31.6. Tampa Bay, 33.8. A couple of spots higher, you will see the Boston Red Sox, who are sitting 23rd. 42.1% of the money goes towards the payroll. That means that 57.9% is going towards ownership's pockets. These aren't just like opinions. These are facts. So when people want to say, oh, well, you know, these teams are bad for baseball, look in the mirror, stand up, look around, and realize that you are the problem. Your team is not investing the same way. You mean to tell me that the Boston Red Sox couldn't invest another $100 million or $150 million if they wanted to? Fact is, they could. And even if they did spend $400 million, they still wouldn't be in the top three or four teams of spend in relation to like spend and revenue. They're not there. So I'm done with that conversation. I'm out on that one when people say that certain teams are bad. So you got the Bryce Harpers who is telling the commissioner of baseball to get the bleep out of the clubhouse because he wanted to like get opinions of players in there. Why in God's name would Philly be a team you'd go visit? Are you serious? He's just... lack of clarity and just nonsensical thinking. It's just ridiculous. So, you know, we have one person on here who's leaving a comment. John Henry has other businesses to spend money on. You're absolutely right. I frankly don't care. That's like somebody telling me, oh, if you're having a problem with somebody you work with, I have problems too. I don't really care about the problems you have with someone in your with your coworkers and whatever. I'm talking about this situation right here. We can spend the money. If this is a priority team, which it should be, it's a, like one of the crown jewels of Major League Baseball. You don't deserve to own the team if you're spending that little amount of money. Don't tell me you care about the team when you're 23rd in payroll revenue split. I don't want to hear it.
So another comment was that three of the 12 playoff teams were not in the top 20. And to that, I'd respond, this isn't about making the playoffs. It's about winning championships. Like, we aren't the St. Louis Cardinals, Miami Marlins. We got to make the playoffs to have a successful season. That has never been the barometer for the Boston Red Sox as they existed before 2018. Never. So there's a difference between 162 and having the talent to win in the moment in a playoff game, to have a George Springer on your roster who's ready to make the big play, big hit, big pitch, whatever. You have to have a certain level of talent to actually win the championship. And that goes for the teams that played here, that won here. The studs, the Hall of Famers, the big time, big game performers, you have to pay for those guys. So I there's a reason why the Dodgers are going to win again. There's a reason why they're probably going to win next year. And there's a reason why the Blue Jays are where they are. It's because they did spend. The Yankees were in it last year with the Dodgers. You know, I mean, what are the other true contenders? Philly, they're a top five spender. Like, I don't want to go into the back door of the playoffs, lose a playoff series and say, oh, it was a good season. No, I want to win championships. You know, I don't want to go 93 and 60 whatever and get bounced. And when you show up for the playoffs with the issues this team had, you're going to lose. And you should demand that Cheap John Henry invest more of this team's revenue into the on-field product. And if you aren't, that confuses me beyond belief because it's not your money. And I'm not saying John has to go to the poorhouse here, folks. And I'm not saying invest the other money you make from other ventures. But if you care about this team using the resources this team generates for income, again, you own Nesson. It's ancillary, but you own the globe. Obviously, the stadium it prints money. I'm not saying don't make your $150, $200 million. Just invest the rest of it. You know. And by the way, I'm not a finance guy, so don't come at me if this is wrong. But don't you think if you went to and won a World Series, the net upswing in the revenue is you're going to see back on the back end of it? So I understand you're investing more, but if you go win a World Series, you get the documentary, you get the press from the parade, you get all the tours in the offseason, you get higher viewership during the championship run, and you get higher viewership going into the following year. Don't tell me you're not still making more money because you had a better product. So I heard these stats, Charlie, this morning in the car. On sports radio, and you guys all know how I feel anyways, and I'm like screaming at on the highway like a lunatic. Like I was so frustrated by it, and I really hope that the next time somebody like Lion Sam Kennedy has to get in front of a microphone, this is specifically brought up and hard questions are asked and demand answers. Don't let him lie to you.
Yeah.
Go on.
No, go on, please.
No, everything you guys are saying is 100% accurate. And, you know, the truth of the matter is you don't even need to win championships, Jeremy. I'll do you one better because let's face it, Shohei Ohtani had never won a damn thing before he went to the Dodgers. And when he got his $700 million 10-year contract, the world almost blew up. They thought it was crazy. Like, who the hell is going to spend that much money on a baseball player, especially one that hadn't won? But this is the difference when you have a front office that has a head on their shoulders and can actually figure things out and apparently has finance guys. Because, you know, we give John Henry a little bit too much credit because we think he knows how to make money and that he doesn't know how to reinvest it. The truth is he doesn't actually know how to make money very well. Because I'm going to give you an example here, okay? That contract is might be the greatest contract in sports history, and I'm going to explain why. 10 years, $700 million. Do any of you know that the Dodgers get $70 million in an endorsement deal from a Japanese company because of Shohei Ohtani? $70 million yearly. So let's take $70 million. Huh?
I thought it would be higher.
No, no, that's just from one company.
He makes Shohei Ohtani makes more money in endorsements in 1 year than he makes in that contract in its full capacity in less than two.
Yeah. Well, that, and that's on the Shohei side, insane. But I'm talking about for the Dodgers, they get a $70 million check from a Japanese company endorsement deal because they have Shohei Ohtani. $70 million times 10 years is $700 million. All right. They've already made back the $700 million. But let's face it. What do you do with that additional $49 million of interest? Because let's face it, put it in the S&P 500, gets you about a 10% rate on average with inflation. That's about 7%. That's $49 million. At the end of the 10 years, that $700 million is $1.19 billion. So they paid Shohei Ohtani and then pocketed $490 million that John Henry could have put into Liverpool or one of the other nine assets that he has. Or he could have just sat on the money or burned it for all I care. But the reality is he could have spent $700 million and made $490 million in the same exact damn time period. And Shohei would have been nice enough to let us defer it. But yeah, we don't have people that think like that.
So, couple things, too, with this deal. So somebody said, oh, you know, I'm frustrated that the Dodgers got Shohei. He could have gone somewhere else. It's like, okay, cool. Name another team outside the Los Angeles Dodgers. As a non-Dodgers fan, I married a Dodgers fan. I'm not a Dodgers fan, right? Name another team in Major League Baseball without bias that gives as much of you know what here as the Dodgers do. They haven't they haven't bought every single player on their team. Like they've bought a lot, don't get me wrong, and it's really hard to like field talent from the minors 24/7. They've also taken chances on players that people have just discarded. Like Max Muncy, for example, was thrown away as garbage, signed as a minor league player, and then came to himself and is dominating there. You've created a winning culture and a spot, place, team that everybody wants to go play on. Dude, people thought Kike was done. Kike went back to LA, is dominating. Why do you think, you know, Yamamoto and Roki Sasaki went to LA? Because they knew they were going to be able to win at 26 and 22 years old. You had Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, and you couldn't do a damn thing. If I'm not mistaken, they didn't have one winning season together. Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, who was the then face of the franchise. That deal that you mentioned, Chris, is more than the best deal of all time. 10 years, $700 million with $680 million deferred. Here's the kicker. Shohei Ohtani, if he retires and moves to Florida after year 10, does not pay California any of that tax that he would be paying in years 11 through 20. Because of Shohei Ohtani, Major League Baseball has created rules. They are going to continue creating rules because of Shohei Ohtani. Major League Baseball is not going to allow major league teams to defer that kind of money ever again. Because when I heard $700 million, I'm like, wow. Holy crap, baseball just got broken. And then they signed Tanner Scott and they signed like a bunch of other players, right? You know, the following year, you got Blake Snell via trade, Tyler Glasnow coming over. They're getting whoever they want at their price. And then they're deferring whatever they don't want to pay. Chris, you touched up on the fact that, you know, they're getting a $70 million check. I didn't remember hearing that one specifically. But I know that he's getting a dumb amount of money in endorsements. When I went to the Angels game and he was an Angels fan there, there were so many Japanese ads and billboards and everything because he's there. They're not there anymore. They're now, you know, across the street with the Dodgers now. And whenever he comes up to the plate, what do you see right behind him? It's usually one of his ads. He's the face of New Balance, an American brand. He's got this like lipstick lotion thing that he does. And they've incorporated all of the players do the dance. It's like an inside joke with the players. I don't know if there's another team in baseball. Terry mentioned it. Toronto has a lot of fun with their team. The Los Angeles Dodgers also have a lot of fun. even when they're not doing well and they lose seven in a row, do you think anyone in the clubhouse is saying, man, this sucks? It's not fun, but they're still the Dodgers, guys. They're still going to run a train on everybody they come across. I mean, they absolutely baptized Cincinnati. Was that really, I mean, Cincinnati gets a participation trophy for showing up. It was great because Terry Frank was there, but that wasn't going to be realistic. I don't think anybody seriously thought that LA was going to lose. I said Dodgers are going to win the World Series before the season even started because they're the only team that cares about winning this much. This Dodgers team, honestly, could be the greatest team that we've seen in over 100 years.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting how yet again a World Series comes about and you have the Dodgers and the Blue Jays and the underdogs, right? The scrappy underdogs are top five in payroll. You know, the Blue Jays, this could very well age poorly. This could be their window closing. They could get blown out in the World Series and never make it there again. But at the end of the day, they signed Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and they kept their superstar, a guy who so many people were already writing off as a Yankee, a Red Sox, a Dodger, anyone, right? No one thought that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was going to stay. I think for a time, not even Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but money talks. They invested in him, and not just in him, they invested in themselves. You look at the George Springer contract. You look at the Kevin Gausman contract. You look at the trade for a guy like Varsho. This is a team, ultimately, in Toronto, who does want to win. And they have been able to ultimately fuse capital with talent, right? And that is how you win championships, unfortunately. As much as I wanted the Brewers to win against the Dodgers, the fact of the matter was that the Dodgers had $230 million, the Brewers didn't. And you saw that difference. It was an embarrassment, you know? The two teams across leagues in the championship, the Blue Jays and the Mariners, you saw a team that spent early and a team that spent at the deadline. And they duked it out, and either one of them really could have gone to the World Series. It would have been good either way. But ultimately, the Blue Jays prevail. There's some lesson there that I'm probably not smart enough to see, but I think that ultimately, keeping around superstars and supplementing them with additional talent, that's probably a winning recipe. And what frustrates me is that this offseason, I don't know how many great deals there are going to be for us, great opportunities like there were in past offseasons. You go back over the past like 2-3 years, and there are guys I wish we got. I really wish we got. This year, sure, Kyle Tucker. We don't really have room for him, but like I said, you make room for him. Kyle Tucker would be great. A guy like Ranger Suarez would be great, but I don't know if I want us to sink a huge contract into Pete Alonso. I'm really not sure. I'm 50-50. I really don't want to sink money into a Kyle Schwarber, into a Eugenio Suarez, these older guys who are already sort of over the hill and on the decline, you know, not necessarily in their numbers immediately, but you get 1-2 years in their contract. You have to be a little afraid of that, you know? So I hate that this front office kind of has an excuse when it comes to not spending a ton of money on this offense, at least, because there's a lot of offensive players on the market this year. And we'll know for sure once the season officially ends and we see who opts out and whatnot. But, I mean, right now, there's Bregman, I guess, if we want to bring him back. There's Alonso, there's Tucker. But, I mean, you look at some of the other names. Do you guys want to go out and spend on Bellinger, on Albies, on Bichette? I don't think players like that fit our needs. And it irks me because this is a problem that John Henry and the Boston Red Sox have completely created for themselves.
Well said. Well said. That.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts, guys?
I wish that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I just said I hate it here. That's it.
Why can't we have nice things? Here's what I would say. If John, and we know John hears the criticism, we know it. And we know it because of the cigar picture, and we know it because he's on the, yacht with the random fan watching Boston Sports Radio. All he has to do is spend. No one's going to criticize if a player doesn't, you know, they'll criticize the GM, but they're not going to criticize the owner for stroking the check. Spend the money. This report being public, like, he's going to know this is what, you know, it's going to get talked about. He knows. We know now, John. Go spend. Shut us up. Or sell the team. You could sell it for billions. Get your money up front and then go buy some whatever other thing you want to buy. You know, if it's just about the dollar bill, sell the... I almost swore, Charlie, so I get credit for not. Sell the bleeping team. Sell it.
If I can hold back today, I think everybody can. I'm just having one of those days. I wish that certain major league ballparks, I think you should have a requirement minimum threshold spend. And I think that if you're planning on building a new stadium, it should have X amount of seats. Dodger Stadium has what, 56,000? I don't even know. Dodger Stadium seating. I'm literally looking this up on the fly because I'm curious. 56,000, okay? Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, and Shohei Ohtani's contracts get paid up in full when Dodger Stadium is full for 48 games or 49 games. That means that you have to worry about everybody else's payroll, not including endorsements from other, you know, avenues, right? But if you're not selling, you know, if you don't have a sellout crowd like the Red Sox shouldn't have, there's a reason why you're not able to do it. Plus, when you have less than 40,000 seats in relation to 56,000, that's possibly 20,000 more seats for 81 games. So do the math. That's over 1.6 million seats that aren't getting sold because they don't exist. So any of these teams that are considering building a new stadium, don't be a freaking moron and build a stadium that's 35,000 seats. You're an idiot. If you don't think it's the, if you can't build it bigger, build it somewhere else. It's a business decision. You building a 35,000 seat stadium is a dumb decision. The one that they're building in Las Vegas is what? What's the capacity? 20,000? Maybe? Dumb decision. Stupid. That owner should be... I can't say it on here.
Yeah, agreed completely. I mean, ultimately, the fans pay the bills, right? None of this would exist without people being willing to spend money on a product. And I just, you know, it goes back to the statistics that you guys were reading off. Reinvesting into the team, I mean, that should be the bare minimum, right? Any other business would expect the same thing, right? You make profit, you reinvest it into the business. Not doing that to a significant enough amount, I mean, it leads to a lot of frustration and a lot of disgruntlement. And next year is going to be a real tone setter, I think, for the Red Sox fan base and how we're all going to feel, because we've been waiting. We've been patiently waiting. Okay, we're rebuilding. We're rebuilding. Well, the rebuild is over. Let's go out there and win. This year was all right. Next year, it's got to be better. You know, it's got to be. So thank you, everyone, for listening and joining. Really, really hoping for the best here. I'm Nick, joined by Jeremy, Chris, and Charlie. And stay tuned if you're watching live. There is going to be a bit of a doubleheader show where Jason, Doug, and Terry are going to be on discussing the state of the MLB playoffs. That is the World Series. Blue Jays, Dodgers should be a very interesting one. I mean, you have the biggest team in America versus the biggest team in Canada. I know that's not saying much, but you know, it should be really cool to see another American versus Canadian World Series for the first time in 30 years, you know? So thank you so much for watching, commenting, listening. We really do appreciate it. Fingers crossed, everyone, for the Boston Red Sox's future. Take care.